Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4 today, verses 32 through chapter 5, verse 8, taken from the first reading today at Mass. The church is taking us through these readings over the last few weeks on Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which is just such a goldmine, extraordinary letter. And here today he's talking about our relationships with one another, but also he's helping us, calling us, exhorting us to stay on track and to live like children of God, both in loving one another, but also walking in righteousness. So let's take a look at it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Brothers and sisters, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. What a great place to start. You know, the heart of Christianity is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not die but have everlasting life, right? That God sent his son into the world to reveal God's mercy, the heart of God the Father. He's come to a race of people that are lost, that are trapped in sin, that were living in the midst of spiritual warfare, that were under the power and the reign of sin and death and had no way out, were destined to be eternally separated from God, trapped really in the power of sin. And the Lord came at the command of the Father to lay down his life for us, to be an offering for sin, he said, to be an offering for sin. He died on a cross and made it possible. He took our sins and he laid down his life and he made his life a perfect offering to the Father. The blood of goats and lambs and the rest were not enough to deal with the sin problem of the human race, but the precious blood of Jesus was enough to cleanse us, enough to free us. It's a new covenant, and the new covenant relationship with God is in the blood of Jesus, and he unites us to the Father. And the core of it is forgiveness. God has forgiven us. And Jesus then, after he rose from the dead, commissioned the apostles. In Luke's account, first time they saw Jesus after he rose from the dead, as he tells them, he breaks open the scriptures and explained why he had to die. And he said, you are my witnesses, you know, that I died on a cross as the scriptures foretold, and I was raised, and you see me, you touch me. Now, I want you to go as my witnesses and declare to others what you see and to bring forgiveness of sins to the world. This is the main business at the heart of the church, why the church exists, to bring the forgiveness of God to every human heart, because every human heart stands in need of it, even people who don't think they do. We all do. So he's exhorting us, and I think about the Lord's Prayer, which is so powerful. And it challenges us, you know, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. It's a conditional statement, if then. And this is what Jesus taught us to pray. If you think about it, it's the prayer. He taught us how to pray. And one element of that prayer is we're asking the Father, we're asking the Lord to forgive us as we forgive other people. So if we don't forgive other people, we're not going to be forgiven. So Paul is reminding us here, just echoing really the sentiments of Jesus, saying forgive one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. You've received mercy, extend mercy. Paul goes on, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love, as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. Beautiful words. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I was talking about the gospel reading from Sunday. Jesus talking about what is the first and the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and with all your strength. He said, this is the first and the greatest thing. So Paul is saying, we know how God loves. God's love has been revealed to us in Jesus, as John the Apostle would say, in this is love, not that we love God that, but he loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See how great and merciful. Look at Jesus and you'll see what God's love looks like. So Paul is exhorting us now that we're children of God, beloved. We are loved. We are beloved children of God. So he's saying, live like it. Right? How do we live like it? Imitate Jesus. And look at what Jesus did. He handed himself over for us. He handed himself over to those who were going to take his life. And he did it for you and he did it for me. He laid down his life for his friends as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. So yeah, he was a living sacrifice. He offered himself up to the Father. And then Paul goes on. He said, immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is fitting among the holy ones. So he reminds us, you've been set apart. You've been purchased by God. The blood of Christ, the Holy One, the blood of Christ has come, and he has washed you clean from the stain of original sin. He's come to dwell in you as in a temple. You now belong to him. Your life is set apart for him. The whole focus of your life now, the centerpiece of it, is living and abiding with him in the power of the Holy Spirit, in relationship, sharing in the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. And you're walking out the first and the second commandment, really all the commandments, but they're summarized there, as we talked about yesterday at the beginning of the week. You're empowered to live that way, and you're consecrated to God. You're given over to God. You're sanctified by the sacred life of God, the Holy One, the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell in you after you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He said, so as a result of that, you need to turn your back on the habit patterns of sin, the habit patterns in the world that you were gripped by, immorality, impurity, greed. He says, don't even let these things be mentioned among you, right? And then he goes on, he says, no obscenity or silly or suggestive talk, which is out of place, but instead thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no immoral or impure or greedy person, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ, and of God. Those are powerful words. Be sure of this. This is verse 5. Be sure of this. The RSV reads this way. Be sure of this, that no immoral or impure man, or one who is covetousness, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Friends, our culture today is rampant with these kinds of things, greed, intense greed, lots of impurity, lots of immorality, sexual immorality of all kinds, obscenity, I mean, the way people just feel free to talk to one another, the whole kind of standard of public discourse has really gone in the wrong direction at an intense pace. And Paul is saying to us, all this stuff is unworthy of a disciple. And he's not just saying, you know, clean yourself up a little bit. He's saying, look, this is the lifestyle that you were brought out of. This is what Jesus freed you from. And if you decide to walk in it, if you make room for sexual immorality, impurity, greed, bitterness, anger, rivalry, jealousy, idolatry, covetousness, these kinds of things, Paul says, be very, very clear. Anybody who's walking in this lifestyle, anybody who's saying yes to this will have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. St. John Paul II, his document Veritatis Splendor, echoing, you know, the teaching of Scripture, the teaching of the Catechism, reminded us that literally one act, one mortal sin, one violation, you know, done against the commandments of God freely done, can separate us from God forever. So the stakes are high. So Paul's not just saying, hey, you know, just clean up your act a little bit. He's saying, look, have nothing to do with this stuff because this is deadly. It's spiritually deadly. Plus it's so radically different than who you are and who you were called to be. He goes on to say, let no one deceive you with empty arguments. For because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient. So do not be associated with them, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. To live in the habit patterns of sin that Paul's talking about, and every single person who's listening, me, the one who's talking, we've all battled with sin. We probably all have moments we wish never would have happened. Had moments when we had fallen into sin in one way or another, each of us knows and as God knows. But God doesn't want us to be discouraged, to allow the enemy to lead us into old habits habit patterns of sin that discourage us, cripple us, lead us to self-condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We've died with Christ. We've been cleansed by his blood. We've been touched by the sacraments of the church. We have the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. We can live a different way of life, not by just our willpower by any means, but by the transforming work and love of the Lord and of the Holy Spirit that's within us. We once did walk in darkness, but now the Lord is leading us to live in and to walk in his light. So Paul's exhorting us to be children of the light. And it's just good to remember, friends, how merciful and loving God is, how much the Lord's in our corner, how much he wants to help us come into this place of freedom. He tells us that, look, I mean, when we fall, when we sin, he's never surprised. I remember a priest friend of mine said to me, one thing I'll never hear from the Lord if I'm, you know, confessing my sins is for him to say, Peter, I can't believe you did that. Because he knows man's frame, scripture says. He knows our weakness. And the Lord doesn't come to condemn, he comes to free us. He takes sin very seriously. That's why Paul is saying it the way he's saying it. And so we need to repent and go to confession and to be regularly taking in the sacraments and the scriptures and life in Christ, living in the light and sharing our life with other people so that we can come out of the darkness and we can walk into the light, because the devil wants to keep us in the darkness. He wants to get us in a place where we're seduced, we believe a lie, we think about it, we think about the temptation. Wants us to be seduced, just like our parents were in the garden, so that we give in. And once we give in, the attack really comes. The accusations, the condemnation, all of it comes. And he wants it to lead to a downward spiral of discouragement and backing away and believing lies about God. God doesn't love me. God, how could he? And that we stand condemned or something before God. You got to be really careful that when we fall into serious sin, it is dark, and the devil can deceive us, and what he's really after is despair, giving up, giving in, backing away, so that we surrender and we die in our sins. That's what he's after. We need to stand knowing God is forgiving. He can forgive any sin. He wants us to take it very, very seriously. And so not only does he not want us to, you know, think about it, give into it in any kind of way, but when we do fall, he's merciful. And he wants to dig us out of that hole as quickly as possible because he's for us and he loves us. He laid down his life for us. He wants us to understand that the forgiveness that Paul calls us to at the beginning of this section of the scripture, you know, he said, forgive as you've been forgiven. It's important to know how merciful, how loving God's forgiveness is toward us, how full it is, how consistent it is. God is love, and love is, you know, loving in truth. So Jesus never holds back from us the reality of what sin is and its effect on us. And we know what it is by seeing the price he had to pay for it. But he wants us to open our heart. If you fall, friend, go to confession. Confess your sins. Open your heart to Jesus. Don't let the devil steal the relationship that you've been given by God's gift. And it's by God's gift that that relationship will continue. It's the merciful love, first of all, of God the Father, and then of his beloved Son, Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit that was given to you in your baptism. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.